Yes. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. For those of you who do not know, my name is Milton Harding. I'm one of the associate pastors here at The King's Chapel. How many of you all knew that? Okay, how many of you all just didn't care? All right, good, good, good. All right, listen, I want to say this real quick because I'm going to work with time and get you all out of here certainly before 4:30 this afternoon. So if I could, I have not figured this out. I need about 15 volunteers to fill in these seats down here because I get a little lonely up here preaching when all of this, and every church I go to, it seems to be like this, that there are open seats up front like, oh, my God, something's going to happen up there. So, yes, can I get some volunteers? Now, don't sit back there. We got to get out of here by 4 o'clock. Come on. Let's give these folks a hand for coming closer. Yeah, closer, closer. See, this isn't even a Baptist church, but most of you all practice that back row Baptist mentality. Not realizing that the anointing is double its portion right up here in this area right here. So, yes, yes, you might see some of these folks pass out up here, and that'd be all right. Anyway, I'm excited. We have a very short period of time this morning, but it's going to seem like we're going to be here forever. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to launch from today. And while you're going there, and you should have your Bibles because you're in church. Yeah, that's a great place to have a Bible, right? So I'm just saying, we should have our Bibles going. We're in church. While you're getting to that point, every male, listen up, if you're here, how many visitors do we have? This is your first time ever at... Oh, really? Oh, okay. So we do have some visitors there this morning, just so you know and you don't get it confused. I am not Pastor Bill, and I am not Pastor Mark. Those are men of God who are gifted and they bring it. I am Pastor Milton, so I don't want you to get confused as guests and as visitors. Hopefully, you will be back next Sunday as well. How many of you all, if you're men, stand up where you are real quick, please. Please, we got a short period of time and I don't have all day. Is Mike Oster? Mike. Give Mike a hand. Mike, come quickly, please, because we don't have all day. I'm going to need you to jog, brother. Come on, come on. All right, so anybody that didn't recognize who Mike is, I'm going to pray for this group of manhood that's standing up right now, but I wanted you to let you know that he is lead in the ministry to men here. And we're in a season right now, brothers, if you look at the culture out there, that there is a great need for the brothers at the King's Chapel to come together and do this thing in the Lord. Amen? Okay, so I want to pray to that end. Make sure you go by and you make a connection with Mike because you're going to hear from us one way or the other. And don't delete us when you get it. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the men that you have raised up here at the King's Chapel. Lord, this is your house. And Father, I pray now a double portion of your anointing upon each man in here, each man that heads up a household, each man that will head up a household. Father, we ask you right now for your wisdom to fall upon them. Father, give them a boldness to get connected, to become one, to have unity right here within this building that it might spill over to this community, Lord. So, Father, we do thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Okay, you may be seated. Now, listen, they weren't just words that I spoke over you. I expect, how many of you all expect the Holy Spirit to move in this place this morning? If you came just to do church, I'm going to give you an opportunity to leave now. Yeah, because we're not doing church this morning. The darkness out there in that culture is too great for us to just do church on Sunday morning. Amen? Let me say that again, because only about 5 people agree with me. The darkness in that culture, which we will leave and go back out into, is too great for us to just do church on Sunday morning. Amen? And the way God has designed it, women, this is no slight to you. Look at your husband and say, I love you, baby. Make sure it's your husband you're saying that now to. Yeah, hopefully. Okay, so... But God has designed that men would be the cornerstone, earthly cornerstone, if you will, for every institution that he's ever designed. Every institution. And it begins with the family, then it goes to the church, then it goes to the government, then it goes to the education system, then it goes to the political realm. Godly men who will stand up for the cause of Christ. We don't have an option to do it any other way. And you can't sit there and say, boy, this place is just in terrible shape if you're not actively in it. And you don't have to do a lot to be in it. You just have to be out there with Jesus because he's in it every day. How many of you came this morning because you wanted to be here? Okay, how many of you came this morning because Jesus wanted to be here? Oh, you got to listen to that one. How many of you came this morning because Jesus wanted to be here? Do you know how Jesus got here this morning? You brought him. Yeah, you brought him. So you can't even afford not to be here next Sunday. Oh, my goodness gracious. Did you all hear that? Jesus wanted to be here. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. In the midst. That's what he does. And so how can we have church this morning and not even recognize that Jesus was here? Wherever Jesus goes, whenever he does things, he speaks. And when he speaks, he watches over what he speaks because out of that speaking comes a manifestation of his word. Lives get changed. I heard a beautiful prayer over here this morning for marriages. Let me tell you something. I do biblical, godly marriage counseling, not therapy. Biblical, godly marriage counseling. That's a difference. Godly counsel deals with sin issues. Sin issues. And since about the end of February to the day as I'm standing before you, I've had no less than 5 Christian couples who are being squeezed. Is it squeezed or squeezed? Who are being overwhelmed, consumed by this culture. Now, the biggest part that is a crimson thread between those marriages or through those marriages, guess what it is? They have not founded themselves on the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that changes families. It's the Word of God that changes men. It's the Word of God that changes women. It's the Word of God that changes children. We're going to send some children out to South Carolina, and we want God to use them mightily. But it's not the beach you send them to. It's the home you've sent them from. That's where the real testimony is. Do you understand? I can go to the beach with the best of them. I can't tan like the best of them, but I can go to the beach with the best of them. That's not that funny, is it? Anyway, no. But so listen, are we going to the beach or are we going to share the gospel? And you can't wait till you get to South Carolina to share the gospel. The gospel is shared right here in Centerville, Clifton, Virginia. Somebody say amen because you know I'm telling you the truth. Did I tell you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5? I'm fixing to preach now. I had to set a little backdrop there. I get pretty irritated by this culture and what it does, what I see it do. I see this culture take down strong men, strong in the natural, because they are spiritually wanting. I see this culture take down women in the natural because they're hungry for oversight, godly oversight. And so I get a little righteously indignant, as my Lord and Savior does, when he has already addressed Satan's activity. How many of you believe Satan is real? 12 of you? Okay. You're going to figure out that he is. If Jesus knows he's real, I figured we ought to know he's real too. Because he came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, that's past tense. Works have been destroyed. So if the works have been destroyed, now we just need to live out what that looks like in this culture, in this day, and in this time. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, I love you in Jesus. I only heard like 7 voices, man. Okay, here we go. Given that, and this is going to be pretty simple and easy and quick this morning, just 3 areas I want to talk to you from. How many of you, if you knew the will of God, if you knew what it was, now be careful how you answer this question because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Because now if you raise your, if you raise your hand, we're going to take a picture. So we'll have proof. Okay, so if we're not going to really take a picture, I'm just kidding. All right, so how many of you knew the real will of God? If you knew what it was, you'd do it. Yeah, I knew that would impact the hands a little bit. Let me ask you one more time. How many of you, if you know the will of God, you would do it? Okay, amen. All right, good deal. Speak to you from three areas today as we get into Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, let's go to the Lord and read that right now. Did I tell you chapter 5 in Ephesians? Did I tell you what verse? Verse 15. Are you with me? I'm reading from the New American Standard. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we ask now, Lord, that you would make it known to us deep within the crevices of our spirit, Lord, that we might be moved and transformed by it. Speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, be careful how you walk. The earlier part of that passage he's just given, and in fact, if you're relatively new to the faith, you can spend some great time in the Gospel of John, but in case you don't necessarily know where to jump in and start, I think reading through the Bible in a year is wonderful, but I don't recommend that unless you have tons of time. What I do recommend is for believers, start in the Gospels and the Epistles, because they give you food for living right now in that home with that impossible wife. I'm not finished. And with that impossible husband. I wasn't going to leave that right there. Are you kidding? I'm not nuts. Okay. Or with those impossible children. Yeah. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Those epistles, Paul gives us practical ways to live out the doctrine that he gives us in the onset of all the epistles. So there we get the doctrine, here's what God says, and here's how we live it. And so Paul then says, therefore, be careful how you walk. And so that whole word of walking just means lifestyle. I want to speak to you from three areas. First of all, it is to know God. Secondly, it is to grow. Third, it is to go and show. Yeah, I spent tons of hours burning the candle to come up with that rhyme. Yeah, that's what went into this sermon prep. To know him, to grow, to go and show him. That's the simplicity of the will of God. Don't make this thing hard. How many of you all right now, as you sit in your seat, how many of you all believe that I am a black man? How many? Let me just see your hands. Good Lord. Every time I ask that, there are always hands that never go up. Keep it simple. It ain't that hard. I am a black man. Yeah, see, do you understand what I'm saying? The simplicity of God's will is the same way. It's not that hard. You're sitting there saying, well, I don't know whether he wants me to go to Egypt or not. Okay, so until you get to Egypt, what is God's will? And that's what we want to talk about today. First of all, it is to know him. If you're going to serve God, according to Jesus' words, in order to serve him, you've got to follow him. And in order to follow him, you've got to know him. To know him means, John 3:3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, ye must be born again. If you're going to know him, I'm not talking about knowing of Jesus or knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing him. Here's how you would know that you know Jesus. You want to know? Here's how you know. Your life will change and you won't try to hide it. That's how you can really know. If the people at work don't know you're a believer, you might not be one. I don't care how many fish and radio stations and crosses you put on your desk. But if they don't know from the experiential exchange with you that you are a believer, and you're not proselytizing, you're just letting, we are walking marquees of the love of Christ. And one thing about the love of Christ, if you ever get it, oh my Lord, you can't, it can't, it's not going to be something you keep a secret. I think I've said this here before. When my wife gets a good deal on, in fact, baby, you mind standing? Because they don't know who this wonderful woman is. This is my wonderful wife. Wonderful wife. Deborah Harding. She gets wonderful deals at Kohl's from time to time. And everybody within a 30-mile radius, beginning with me, knows how great the deal was. Yeah, yeah. Well, so when you get the deal of eternal life, how do you not tell that? How do you not get more intimate with that? If you have a relationship with your spouse, and it is just an existing relationship, I mean, you all are there in the same house together, that's not a relationship. And it's the same way with Christ. When the scriptures talk about the marriage relationship, it ain't even talking about the marriage relationship. It's talking about the relationship between Jesus and his church. And if the numbers prove this out, it's unfortunate it's in the culture this way, but if we'll bail in divorce on one another, we'll bail on Jesus the same way. Somebody say amen. Don't get quiet on me now. I got to keep it real because we don't have much time. I got to be out here by 4:30. That's what Marty told me. So the content, if you will, from the scriptures, truth that changes lives, is what establishes our relationship. I meet with men from time to time, and I encourage them as groups and as singles. I want you to know what Jesus had for breakfast. That's how close as men we ought to be to his breath. Because he said the word of God, it's inspired. It's God breathed. You ever talk to some people and you know what they had for lunch? You don't want to know, but it just kind of snuck up on you. So I'm saying, to know him means that there's an element of intimacy that's going on between you and Jesus that no one else can figure out. Because those born of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus in John 3, he says they're like the wind. No one knows where it came from and no one knows where it's going. That's when you got the Spirit burning inside of you. And I'm not talking about showing up and checking off and I was at church Sunday. Something ought to be happening in your life that's Jesus bound from Monday through Saturday. Yeah. Okay, so we have to know him. We have to know him. Part of knowing him is John 6:37 says, Jesus says, all whom the Father gives me will come to me. You got to check yourself. Have you gone to him? Because he's asked for you. If the Father has given you to Jesus, you will come to him. You say, well, I just haven't heard him call yet. Today he's calling. Today is your day to come to him if you don't know. If you don't know him. That cross is as real as I am black. That's the second time that's come up. Is anybody struggling with the fact that I'm black? Is anybody, are we all over that just yet? Okay, good. So the cross is real. It's real. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, past, present, and future. But he didn't stay dead. He rose. When he says, I am the resurrection, he backed it up. And because of that resurrection, I'm standing before you now as a man who used to smoke plenty of pot, used to drink plenty of booze, chase plenty of women, snort plenty of cocaine. But today I'm telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ because I know he's real. I know I have an intimate relationship with him. Yeah, that's a praise for you. Yeah, absolutely, that's a praise. Nothing in the land can do that. I don't care how many self-help books you read. They don't have that answer. They don't have that. I don't care how many shows you watch on TV. They don't have that answer. Been there, done that. Some of you got shelves of books because somebody said you were like this and it just rocked your world and it sent you in tilt. But do you know who created you? Yeah, he created me like this. I'm supposed to be like this. I'm being transformed to the image of his son. Listen, this is going to sound all kind of arrogant here, but it's not intended to be arrogant. I am uniquely made in Christ. And in Genesis 1:31, he says, and I am very pleased with that. Well, now, he made all of you all the same way. We've got to know him. There's got to be. How many of you are married? Okay, so at the show of those hands, there should be a level of intimacy here that goes beyond taking out the trash. I mean, well, There should be a level of, oh yeah, this is just for me, I sweat. There should be a level of intimacy in that relationship that just went up that's not predicated on whether you got roses for Valentine's Day or not. Somebody say amen. Yeah, if you love me, how come you didn't? What? Why? What? Oh, no. Love can't be tied to stuff. Love is, because think about Jesus. Even while we were yet still sinners, according to Romans 5:8, he said God demonstrated his love to us and sent Jesus to the cross. I don't know about you all, but I was not a pretty day at the beach, if you know what I mean. Anybody say amen? Is anybody in here got some stuff? Or I should say has some stuff? Well, some of you still got stuff going on. Oh, but the difference is you got Jesus. Second of all, you've got to grow in Christ. If you got him, he doesn't keep you as infants. You're always going to be growing. And what is it that makes us grow? I'm glad you said that. Yes. Who's food? Excuse me. Who said food? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, food was the correct answer. If you got that on your sheet, you're good. Listen, food makes us grow. You can't come to Jesus and never be in the scriptures to eat. Because he's not feeding your head, he's feeding your spirit. It's that new man, that fleshly suit we have on. Nobody knows who we look like because we're behind this flesh. I mean, once this flesh goes, when Jesus returns and my flesh is removed, you want to see something nice. Well, he said it was going to be nice. I'm not being arrogant here. But you all in the same seat. It's the same way. We can sometimes, in fact, I can tell you, there are some in here right now, sometimes we can add fig leaves to our stuff. Y'all will get that a little bit later. Sometimes we can add fig leaves to our stuff that God is not interested in. Yeah, he's not interested in fig leaves. And we bring those fig leaves right in here on Sunday morning. We look good, don't we? Sinning like all get out. You know, and I know this church is not immune, but I'm going to say something here. Don't get hung up on it, because God doesn't get hung up on it. He cleanses it. Pornography is one of the greatest destroyers in the church today, much less the culture. And don't assume that it's not happening here. It's just happening out in the culture. Boy, don't get quiet on me now. That's just like saying amen. Okay, so Jesus doesn't anchor down on pornography. Men, women, he doesn't. He doesn't drill down. You know why? He would not be God if he did. He already sent his son to the cross for pornography. So if you're in it, you're choosing to be in it. Because that cross work set you free. Oh, y'all not hearing me. Let's take pornography out and let's deal with alcohol. If you're shoving alcohol in your veins and it's beyond just a beer or two, now, drinking doesn't send you to hell. Don't start with me. Don't send me emails. Yeah, I get it. Drinking will not send you to hell. I was there. But let me tell you something. It does alter your thinking. It does alter your thinking. If you don't believe me, go down to Happy Hour and be a Uber for a while. Oh, y'all get it now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And so some people out of there come out of those bars thinking, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm pretty good. I got this. That was the last phrase of the guy who was sitting at the helm of the Titanic. I got this. And so, I appreciate you all appreciating that. That was good, wasn't it? That was good. So what I'm saying is, he's already done the work on the cross. He says it is finished. So if we are bound down in our sin somewhere, then we're not growing. Because you're still, woe is me, I'm in the sin. And I'm not winking at sin or dismissing it, because he doesn't. There is not a sin that's ever committed that won't be addressed. That hasn't already been addressed. Do you understand that David and Bathsheba and that whole scene, David carried that in his spirit for about a year and a half almost before he came clean with it. Guess what? In that year and a half time, God still used him mightily. And he said this about David. He says, there's a man after my own heart who will do all that I ask him to do. He wants relationship with us. He wants a relationship. He's not interested in us trying to hide what we are and then trying. One of the worst things in the world is Christians trying to be Christians. Oh, y'all ain't heard me. You don't have to hear me, because I'll start preaching in a minute. One of the worst things in the world is Christians trying to be Christians. If Jesus Christ is at home in you, you can't help but be a Christian. And that's what's going to manifest in the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody struggle with being kind? Anybody struggle with being gentle? Anybody struggle with self-control? And be careful how you appropriate that word struggle, because I don't usually assign the same definition to struggle as some of you might. Because some of the first responses is, I struggle with this thing. Well, if I set two glasses of beverage on this table here, and one of them's ice cold water and the other one's ice cold Clorox, if you're thirsty, will you struggle with which one to drink if you know which one it is? No, it's not. Okay, let me help you with that answer. No, it is. Because some of you go, well, let me see. No. It's not a struggle. You're not going to struggle. You're going to drink the ice cold water, especially if you know the Clorox is deadly. Sin is the same way. We should have the same response regarding even if it's a wrong thought. How many of you have looked at somebody with body language wrong in the last 48 hours? Okay, four people. Okay. All right, we'll go with that. Four people. How many of you all have had a thought that wasn't right about somebody in the last 48 hours? Praise God. Thank you, folks. Let's get real here. We don't have time to play. I got to be out here by 4:30. Point being, Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Folks, we have to put the word of God in us in order for this transformation of light to take place. Do you understand? If you're not in a regimented, disciplined time with the Lord on a daily basis, and I'm not just saying devotion. Devotions are good, don't get me wrong. They can be concentrated, but we don't always do a light snack all the time, do we? Sometimes we just throw our sleeves up and go at it pretty ugly. A few people in this room know that I was over at Missions Barbecue this past week, and they saw me in action. So we don't have problems eating. We got that figured out. But spiritually, when it comes, oh, I just don't feel like getting in the Word today. How can you not get in the Word today? The words Jesus says in John 6, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Life. And so, we've got to know Him. We've got to grow in Him. We are new creations in Christ. We're not what we used to be. Let that go. Be that new creation that feeds off of the new fresh wine every day, the bread of life every day. Your spirit, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, should hunger and long for that. And then the third thing is to go and show Him. Brothers and sisters, if there's one area in which the other two areas have a lot to do with the third area, going and showing Him. Well, you heard the scripture. Here I am, Lord. Send somebody else. That's how we live it, but that's not how the scripture goes. Send me. Now listen. We struggle in this when it is so biblical that the whole Trinity testifies about God. And in order to know God, we've got to come through. Somebody said it over here. Don't be afraid. Even if it's not right, I'm going to make it sound like it is. Yes, Jesus, and it's a wonderful answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so every part of the Trinity testifies about Jesus. We won't go there right now, but spend some time in John 5. In John 5, about 35, 36 verse there, he says John the Baptist came as a word of prophet, as a prophet and a word of prophecy. He was the shining lamp. He was telling the Jews about the Messiah. And as you go on down that little passage there, it tells you, Jesus says, the scriptures, you read them thinking that in them you'll have eternal life. He's talking to the Jews. He says, but guess what? In the scriptures, they're testifying about me. So we got John the Baptist testifying. We got the scriptures testifying. Guess what? He goes a step further and says, my Father testifies about me. Ooh, that's deep. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Melvin. We're leaving out one. What about the Holy Spirit? John 15:26. We find the Holy Spirit testifying about Jesus. Why would I take time to tell you that? Listen. We have no excuse. If we belong to him, we should be testifying about Jesus. It's a natural thing. It's a natural walk. It's a natural life to tell others about Jesus. And don't think you got to go and sign up for the King's Chapel evangelism class. Because I can tell you right now, that woman at the well, when she got a taste of Jesus, she did not go to an evangelism class. She went right back to the village and told everybody with her tonsils hanging out, come see a man who told me everything it was to know about me. The whole village went to Jesus. You know why we're scared to do that? We're scared Centerville wouldn't come over here. We won't even go out there and tell them. In fact, if I were here next week, I'd stand at the door and have them all locked. And if you didn't bring somebody back in here, I wouldn't even let you in. Can I say that? Okay. Oh, let's get that off the tape. No. So, listen, we can't come into. You ever been in those restaurants when you're standing in line and there are people sitting at the table eating? Y'all have? What do you feel like when you're sitting in the will call area and those folks are sitting over there eating? Yeah, I mean, I got that. I mean, okay, so this is not that group. Anyway, we're sitting in here on Sunday morning. There's a will call line out there right at our front doors. How many of you stand right now? How many of you have neighbors? Don't stand, just raise your hand. Neighbors that you know might need to hear the gospel. How many of you all have family that need to hear the gospel? And I raise my hand with you. How many of you all have a coworker that needs to hear the gospel? Do you realize if you know that person, you're the only reason that they haven't heard it yet? Oh, that's a scary thing. Pastor Milton, you just pointed a finger at me. But I got to keep it real. Who in here likes to read? All right, be real about this now, because you know I'm going somewhere with this. Once you raise your hand, you're all in. How many of you all enjoy reading? How many of you all enjoy reading inspirational stuff? Okay, I need two volunteers. What'd you do with my books? All right, I need two volunteers. I need you to come quickly, because I want to bless you. They didn't realize. Just two that raised your hand. Don't be afraid. Okay. Oh, we got three. That's okay. I got an extra book. I'll give it to you. But now let me just say this to you. These men who have come right here now are making a commitment, because I'm going to sow The Beauty of Christ, which is a wonderful book, 65 pages. It's got large font, so you can read it in no time. I don't do long extended readings unless it's in scripture. But anyway, I'm going to sow this book in both of their lives. In the book, so I'm seeding in their life. Can you tell us what that is right there? Tell me what that's sticking out of that book right there. What does that look like to you? Okay, I'm glad you figured it out. It's a track. It's a gospel track. So they are receiving the seed of this book into their lives, and this book will bless you. I promise you it will. But their commitment to you at the King's Chapel, their commitment to you, they're going to share this gospel track with someone in their travels this coming week. Now, they didn't even know. They just volunteered. I'm telling them this right now, before all of their church family to see this. And guess what's going to happen next Sunday? Please make a note of this. They're going to come back and give you testimony of what took place. Now, I'm not expecting them to say, hey, this man accepted the Lord, or this woman. It matters not, because what we're supposed to do, you may sit down. Let's give them a hand, too, and pray that they will be faithful with that. Listen. Here's what Corinthians says, Paul says. One seeds, the other waters. Neither one of them amounts to anything when it comes down to the results, because the results are God's. He is the one that causes the increase. What are we supposed to do? We can't get wrapped around the axle because somebody didn't accept the Lord when we were sharing with them at Starbucks or how'd y'all know what it was? Yeah, Panera. Yeah. We've just got to be willing to seed and water. Listen, folks. There is no reason, and this was a beautiful prayer over here, in this community alone, people need the Lord. They only get the Lord if you tell them. Go and tell them. I don't care if they slam the door in your face. You've had worse done to you. Somebody say amen, because you have. Yeah. But you got to be willing. He was committed when he went to the cross. Will you be committed to share the gospel if you got it? Don't tell me you're alive in him. Don't tell me you belong to him. Don't tell me you're part of the family of Christ and not share the gospel. It's impossible. And if it's making you think there a little bit, just trying to examine yourself and say, let's see, maybe I'm not who I think I am, then that's fine. Paul says in Corinthians, go and examine yourself. See if you're in the faith. It's okay. And if you're not in the faith, get in the faith. If you're not sure and get ready to walk out, don't leave this building today before I tell you about the cross. I'll be happy to tell you about the cross. But what I want to say to us, church, what I want to say to us, we live in some very evil times, very dark times, and Jesus is calling on you. He's saying, okay, are you in this with me? Because when your back is against the wall, I promise you, he's in there for you, for me. And our role is very simple. Know him, grow in him, and go and show him. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you and we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh, Lord, it's still rumbling in my spirit. But, Lord, I just pray that you would take whatever has been heard, let it be sealed in the hearts of the hearers of that word. Father, if it is for them to go and make that next step, Father, maybe they don't know you. May they be bold enough to ask someone about you today before they leave these grounds. Father, maybe they're not growing in. Lord, may they get connected to the branch-vine relationship that they may begin to grow. And Father, maybe they are not sharing the gospel and the good things that you've done in their lives. May this be the day, Lord, that the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ rises up in them and they proclaim the gospel. So Father, we commit every soul in this building unto you. Holy Spirit, have your way in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you. Mark. Amen.